Good morning, brothers and sisters and young people. Welcome to our meeting here this morning. Our brother Kent has asked that we read from Psalm 23. Now, ask our brother Kent to come and give us the words of exhortation around his theme, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Brother Kent.
Thanks, Daniel, and morning, everyone. Well, brothers and sisters, as we gather this morning around the memorial table to remember our Lord Jesus Christ in bread and wine, it's important, I think, to remind ourselves that Scripture was not written in abstraction. It was written in real moments of pressure, crisis, and decision. And it speaks most powerfully when we allow these lived contexts to shape our understanding. One of the most familiar passages in all of Scripture is Psalm 23. Superficial reading might suggest a psalm born out of calm and settled circumstances. Yet there is compelling evidence to suggest that David composed these words during one of the most painful and devastating periods of his life, the rebellion of his own son Absalom. The historical record of 2 Samuel chapters 15 to 18 describe David fleeing Jerusalem, betrayed by his son, abandoned by trusted counsellors, and uncertain whether he would ever return. We are told that he crossed the Kidron Valley barefoot and weeping, his head covered in grief. These are the conditions under which Psalm 23 must be understood. It is not tranquil poetry. It is a bold declaration that even in the valley of loss, danger, and betrayal, the Lord remained David's shepherd. I find it remarkable that David does not begin Psalm 23 by lamenting his enemies or rehearsing his losses. Instead, he begins with a declaration of his faith. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This psalm is not sentimental scripture. It is resilient faith. It is trust forged in adversity. And this morning, I'd like us to reflect on Psalm 23 in that light, whilst deliberately drawing upon the devotional words of Hymn 9, which we have just sung. The King of Love, my shepherd is. You see, this hymn actually traces the psalm verse by verse, but it helps us to internalise the message by placing David's faith on our own lips. So as we prepare our minds for the emblems, this hymn invites us not merely to admire the shepherd described in Psalm 23, but to examine our own relationship to him. It calls us to consider what it means to be shepherded, not only in times of peace, but in times of uncertainty and trial, and how the shepherding is ultimately revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Psalm 23. As I've alluded, it begins with a statement that is both simple and profound. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The power of this opening lies in its personal nature. David does not speak about a shepherd in general terms. He speaks of my shepherd. This is not a theoretical statement. It is covenant language. It expresses belonging, commitment, and trust. David begins not with his circumstances, but with his identity. To call the Lord my shepherd is to acknowledge both authority and care. And of course, sheep don't negotiate with the shepherd. They follow, they trust, they depend. And so the hymn in the opening stanza captures this beautifully for us. The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. So in that opening stanza, we're reminded that the shepherd of Psalm 23 is also a king. His authority is not harsh, and his power is not self-serving. He rules in love. His kingship is expressed through care, through sacrifice, and through constancy. There is mutual belonging here. I am his, and he is mine. Again, covenant language. It echoes God's words to Israel, and ultimately Christ's relationship to his ecclesia. Scripture consistently uses the language of sheep to describe human dependence. The familiar words of Isaiah 53 and at verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. And again in that same verse, Isaiah reminds us that God has laid our iniquity upon another. For us, the shepherd king finds his fullest expression in Christ, who declared, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As we approach the memorial table, I think this raises a number of searching questions for us as disciples. Do we really live as those who belong to Christ? Or do we attempt to divide our loyalties between the shepherd and our own preferences? Do we follow, or do we still rather seek to direct ourselves? To say, I shall not want, or I nothing lack, is not to claim that life will be easy, nor that hardship will be absent. It is rather to declare that Christ is sufficient, even when life is hard. It is a recognition that what we need most has already been provided, and that in belonging to the shepherd, we lack nothing of lasting value. Well, David continues in Psalm 23, and he says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The imagery is deliberate. Sheep do not lie down unless they feel safe. They do not drink from turbulent streams. The shepherd must, and indeed does, create conditions of peace. We live in an age that is anything but peaceful. There is constant stimulation. There is noise, there's screens, there's urgency, there's expectations. And at different times, even our own spiritual lives can be hurried and, I suggest, transactional. So the hymn reflects that. Where streams of living waters flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. You will, of course, have noted the shift from the physical provision to spiritual nourishment. The living waters, of course, recall not only Psalm 23, but the words of Jesus himself in John 4. Christ offers waters that truly satisfy. And, of course, note the phrase, my ransomed soul. The rest we are given is not deserved rest, but purchased rest. It cost the shepherd his life. Our meeting of remembrance is meant to be one of those still waters in our week. A pause, a deliberate laying aside of distraction, a place where the shepherd gently leads us away from turbulence and back to reflection. If we rush through this meeting without stillness, we miss its purpose. David continues in verse 3. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Restoration is a recurring theme of Scripture. It's recurring because the reality is something that we know so well. We constantly sin. We constantly need restoration. Restoration, of course, assumes wandering. It assumes weakness. The hymn does not soften this truth. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. I think this is one of the most searching verses of this hymn. It admits that we often hesitate to confess, that we stray not accidentally but foolishly, and yet the shepherd seeks. David, of course, knew what was to stray morally, emotionally, and spiritually. After his sin with Bathsheba, he prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Jesus, of course, later echoed this shepherding work when he said that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Brothers and sisters, the memorial table is not for the sinless. It's for the restored. Forgiveness is not a one-off event. It's a continual provision. And of course, the shepherd does not restore reluctantly. He rejoices to do so. David tells us that the shepherd leads for his name's sake. This is significant. Our restoration, our guidance, and our preservation are not grounded in our worthiness, but in God's character. This gives us confidence when we feel weak, uncertain, or conscious of repeated failure. We are reminded that the shepherd's commitment rests on who he is, not on who we are. And at this memorial table, we remember a sacrifice that upheld God's name. Christ's obedience, even unto death, declared the righteousness, faithfulness, and love of God. David continues in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Here the language shifts. The psalm moves from talking about God to talking to God. In the valley, faith becomes prayer. These words, of course, take on particular weight when we acknowledge that they are set against Absalom's rebellion. David, of course, walked through literal valleys of danger and betrayal. He does not deny fear. He declares instead that the presence of God outweighs the reality of danger. The hymn reflects that trust. "In death's dark veil I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me." Here the hymn unmistakably leads us to Christ. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley towards Gethsemane, fully aware of what awaited him. And like David, he was betrayed by one close to him. The cross stands at the centre of the valley. It does not remove the valley, but it does redefine it. Because of Christ, the valley is no longer the end of the journey. Death does cast a shadow, but a shadow only exists where there is light and indeed hope beyond it. We take this wine this morning, and in doing so, we acknowledge that Christ entered the valley. He was not insulated from fear or abandonment or pain. He trusted his Father and our Father completely. That trust now becomes our comfort. In verse 5 of Psalm 23, David writes, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In the context of Absalom's rebellion, the image is striking. A table prepared, not after the conflict, but during it. And for us, the enemies are still present. Sin still tempts. The world still opposes. Death still claims lives. Yet the table is prepared. And the hymn echoes this assurance. Thou spreadst a table in my sight of love beyond all knowing, and oh, what gladness and delight from thy pure cup is flowing. Every memorial meeting is a table prepared in the presence of enemies, but also in the presence of God. The cup we share today speaks both of suffering and of joy. It reminds us that the memorial table is both backward and forward looking. It remembers Christ's death, but it also anticipates the day that we will drink the cup anew with him in the kingdom. David concludes the 23rd Psalm by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Hebrew sense of the word follow is strong. It suggests pursuit. So even when we are not conscious of it, God's goodness is active, his mercy is persistent. We may think that we are chasing God's blessings, when in actual fact, those blessings are pursuing us. So Psalm 23 begins with a shepherd in the field, and it ends with a servant in the house. It moves from journey to destination, from provision to promise. The hymn that we've sung echoes this hope. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. This is our hope, not merely to be guided through life, but to dwell eternally with the shepherd. Brothers and sisters, Psalm 23 is not sentimental scripture. It's resilient scripture. It speaks to life as it truly is and to faith as it must be lived. The hymn we sung is not just a reflection on the psalm, it's a response to the psalm. So as we now take of bread and wine, let us do consciously as sheep who are still being led, still being restored, still learning to trust. May we leave this meeting strengthened by the assurance that the King of Love is our shepherd, and that his goodness and mercy truly shall follow us until that day when we dwell in the house of the Lord forever.